but in this subject. Now let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you now, Lord, for your presence here. For you said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And we know, Lord, that that is exactly 100% correct. That not even the born again, people need not even be born again, to have this assurance, just come together in your name, and there it is, you're in the midst. But Lord, where they are the born again, then we can go further and claim even something greater. And that is that you're not only in our midst, but Lord, you're in the heart, able to anoint the lips that speak, and the ears that hear, and the heart that receives, until, Lord, the very life of the Word becomes manifested in those who would be Word bride. So, Father, we just commit ourselves to you and believe that you'll help us to say exactly the right things in exactly the right way, and that all things should be done to your glory, either hesitating or fluently. It doesn't matter how it comes, just as long, Lord, as the truth is in the midst of the people, and the people are blessed by the truth. They are given the food of God. We ask these mercies in the name of Jesus Christ, and all for his glory, and yet for our eternal good. Amen. Now, the words that we're going to read in the Word of God are found, first of all, in Matthew 13, 24 to 30. Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and in John 15, and in Revelation 14. You can just be aware of where they are. Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in that field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both, intermingled, grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, so he doesn't even say the end or the last day, but in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And beginning at verse 36, the explanation. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house of him, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare, that word is from the word exegesis. Please make a full and absolute explanation unto us the parable of the tares of the field. They are intrigued by this tare. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. And the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And John 15, you're all familiar with this dissertation. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every fruit in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. The man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. Now, in Revelation chapter 14, we read of a harvest, verses 18 and 19. And another angel, well, let's read 16 with it. Well, read 15. Well, start in 14. That gives you a clear picture rather than just taking out a couple verses. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud sat one like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat in the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat in the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, cried with a loud voice into the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. The angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. Now, since the Bible is a book setting forth the relationship of God and man through worship, we immediately understand that the true vine children of God have a right relationship to God, while the false vine children have a wrong relationship to God. And of course, the false vine is of Satan. But nonetheless, they have a relationship to God through worship. And their worship is not accepted of the Lord. Now, these ones that God designates, as he did in John 8, which we'll read in a little while, as being of the devil, they claim that they are children of God, even though they are not. In John 8, beginning at verse 37, that might be about as good as any place to start. I know that you're Abraham's seed. This is seed natural. But you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Now, I want you to notice what he said. He gave the reason why they sought to kill him. Because the word had no place in them. The reason for that was there was no place in them for the word. They were destitute of a place which would hold the word of God. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Now notice what he said. He said, you do what you've seen, I speak what I have seen. One is speaking, and now the other is doing. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father? And they said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but God sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. There's something wrong with their ears. They couldn't hear, and there was no place for it. You are your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer in the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Well, they can't believe if you're believing the devil in his lie. How can you believe God in his truth? Can't be done. Okay, you can't believe two things that are awful. Which of you convinceth me of sin? This in the Greek is, which of you can find one word of error in me? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? They couldn't believe because they couldn't hear it, and there's no place for the word to go. He that is of God heareth God's Word. John said, you are God's little children. See, you don't need any man to teach you. There's your evidence of the Holy Ghost again. You there, ye that is of God, heareth God's Word. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now, you must understand here that Jesus Christ was speaking to the people of Israel, who by natural election and selection were the only authorized and recognized people who had a right to approach unto God. No one else had the institutions that God laid down whereby they could worship God. Yet, in spite of this fact, he called them the children of the devil and disassociated himself from them entirely, though on the basis of human reasoning, they had every right to go to God, and God would seemingly of necessity be bound to confirm their rights that they had on him. But they did not have any rights on him. And in spite of the fact that they were the most religious and only religious people, that is, with any semblance of true religiosity, they were absolutely denied a relationship to God. And they were classed as completely as reprobate as anybody could possibly be classed. And he told them what their trouble was. That they did not have a place for the Word. They could not contain the Word. They could not hear the Word. They could not believe the Word, though they had the Word, with every claim that their interpretation of the Word and their walk in the Word was 100% right. Now, I've told you the truth. Because this is the condition that obtained at this moment. Now, I mentioned that the first, that this book is a record of God's relationship to man and man's relationship to God through worship. And they were worshiping God. Yet it was already decreed that they would end up with the same fate as their father, because his fate and his place was predestinated, just like the life and the destination of the elect is predestinated. Now, the reason for this condition, as we see it, I believe, is given to us in Isaiah chapter 14. Beginning at verse 12, just a couple of verses. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. I'll have the highest place in the congregation, in the sides of the north. I'll even ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan said, I will get the worship of the people of the earth, which belongs to God. I will have it for myself. I will be the one that is worshipped by the people. And you know what he did? He did it. Because either Satan demands. Now watch this. This will separate the truly pagan, who are barbaric in their filthy concepts, from those who are educated and have a refined concept. Satan either demands the worship of himself, or he perverts the worship of God. If he can attract direct worship to himself, or pervert the worship of God, he has accomplished his end, because God cannot and will not accept perverted worship. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's in John 4:24, I believe. So, these ones here that you heard me read about in John 8 were worshiping God, had all the earmarks of worshipers, had every indicated right, but they were rejected because they didn't worship him according to the Word. Because Jesus said, my Word is truth. So therefore, to be accepted by God, one must not only approach unto God by spirit, but one must approach unto God by spirit and word. To dissolve either, my brother, my sister, splits the camp. Just as we've got today amongst the Baptists, Presbyterians, Nazarenes, and all the rest with the Pentecostals. One tries to go by the Word and says, we won't have a thing to do with the Spirit. And one tries to go by the Spirit and says, who needs the Word? And you can't go to God and worship in a perverted manner. And whether you think it or not, that you're worshiping God, my brother, my sister, I am sorry, I must tell you now, as a servant of God, as much as you're calling upon God in His name, as much as you think you're worshiping God, as much as you think you're serving God, except you're in this Word, you are serving the devil. And He's got you just where He wants you. And God will say no different to you in this end age than He said to the scribes and the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil. And He mentioned how they kept doing things. Doing, but they never listened. And that's exactly why they killed Stephen, because he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised, hard of ears, you'll never listen to when the Word of God comes to you. But you want your own way. Now most people can readily accept with the theologians what the theologians have set forth, that there are two kinds of people, saved and unsaved. Born again and unregenerate, or regenerate and unregenerate, however you want to put it. What they don't know about these two groups is that the unsaved have amongst them what you would call make-believers. And at the time of Christ, and at the end time, they are going to be so close to the believer that they will fool themselves and others that they are really a children of God. For the great delusion and the great lie of this age is the very same lie at the end of Israel age. That the multitude will believe that they are truly born again, and they are not. That they have been deluded, and will remain deluded. In Matthew 3:12, it says, his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, Luke 3:17 also, in the mouth of two witnesses, we're going to find what John said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn up with fire unquenchable. Now, this is no mystery. This is an end time prediction. That when Christ comes, there will be two people who will be so closely related in the flow of life, which is the worship of God. They will look so close
that God Himself can no longer talk about tares. They've already been bound, and God directs them in Italy. But He's talking about another people so close to wheat that He calls them chaff. Now, chaff and wheat are related. The chaff is the last stage preceding the growth of the wheat itself. Before the wheat can form, there must be the green chaff, which has formed first as a protective covering into which the wheat will come and be protected and nourished and grown until the light finally passes all the way from the original planted wheat seed up through the, from the roots up to the stalk, through the leaves, the stamen, the pistil, the pole, right up at the very top. It passes into it. Then when it passes into it, at the right stage, the wheat is gathered. A man takes a huge flailing fan. The oxen set the wheat. And the fan blows away the chaff. The wheat is carried to a purified garner. And the chaff is burned. Now we know, my brother, my sister, the word of God is absolutely replete in telling you who gets burned. The unregenerate. It's the wicked. But God has shown us here that there are going to be two groups of people in the end time who will be so absolutely closely alike by spirit that you will have one awful job to recognize them. They'll be so close that the chaff will be fooled that it is right, just the same as Israel was completely fooled, completely deluded, hopelessly stuck on herself as being right with God, and yet she was not, because they all perished under Titus in 70 A.D. And the rest were scattered. You're going back to the days of Jesus Christ? What made the difference between people like Zachariah, Simeon, Anna, the apostles, and various ones? The only difference lay in the fact that though they looked alike, though many of their thoughts were alike, and so much was alike, that out of this chaff of Israel came the true elect of Almighty God. And this is what is going to repeat in this end time. Now, I want to show you, brother, sister, why it is that these two spirits, these two minds, if we would call them that, are so close. And I could have said at this time, and I will say, that as I read to you in John 15, the scripture says that some of the branches in Christ will be cut off and burned. Now many people feel, brother, sister, that this signifies that the people who are cut off as branches were people who were born again and in the vine and did some filthy sin and got cut off. Yet if this is the case, if that's the case, then how could John the Baptist say that Jesus would destroy the chaff? They're two different people entirely. Those who are in the vine and who will be cut off are those who are drawing the life and blessings of God, just the same as Israel drew the life and blessing of God, but they were not in the spiritual election, they were in the natural election. And if you don't know what a natural election is, I'll explain that to you. It's as simple as ABC. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, He brought them out, let's say they were 2 million strong or 3 million, I don't know how many, and that doesn't much matter. But we could just say they were 2 million strong for good even round numbers. Now, these people being a mixed multitude, which the scripture tells us they were the true and the false. Those who were not proper in the sight of God would never adhere to the Word of God. The scripture says that He blotted their name out of the book of life and that they were destroyed. But you will notice, they were the carriers or the natural election, unto whom the children of the spiritual election were born, because you've got to have the bride of Christ coming out of the human race. See? So as the mixed multitude came out of Israel, God said, I'm going to bring you out to take you in. But all over the age of 20 died because they were in the natural election so that God could bring his spiritual election into Palestine, Canaan land. And only two entered, which of course was Caleb and Joshua of those older. No doubt their wives went in too because they'd be under the household and blood covenant along with the rest of the family. So there was a natural election as well as a spiritual election. Now, we can see how close these two spirits are, we'll start a word study of the two vines, these two spirits, two trees, whatever you want to call them, in the book of Genesis. And we're going to measure their proximity by the Word of God and see what happens. First of all, in Genesis, the second chapter, verses 8 and 9. And the Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Now notice it. Oh, I hope you get this. Listen to the word. What you could eat physically came out of the ground. But it doesn't say the next two trees came out of the ground, so how could he eat first? Huh? Hasn't got a thing to do with eating apricots, plums, oranges, pears, cucumbers, or God knows what. It says every food, every tree that grew food for the human race came out of that ground. And then it says here, the tree also, the life also, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge, of the knowledge of good and evil. And it doesn't say they grew. And it doesn't say they came out of the ground. It says they were there. Now, let's look at this scripture. The tree of life. What's the tree of life? There's only one tree of life, and that's God. True. This is the record. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I know that people don't think, because this word is called life, that it could refer to the very life of God. But brothers, sisters, original life all came from God. Now, notice the tree of life. Notice the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, let's just compare this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Here's your first introduction to Satan, to his ways. Too many of us are prone, because of the unscriptural preaching of our preachers for generations, and they say that God is entirely good and the devil is entirely bad. I've got news for you. If your concept of spiritual things lies in the realm of the intensely beautiful and the intensely wicked, you've already been fooled. Because your initiation into what causes the downfall of man does not rest upon a completely perfidious thing, but upon a perverted thing. Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is both good and evil. It doesn't say it's evil. It says it's good and evil. So therefore, a perversion is set before us here in this scripture. Not that the scripture's verse, but a perversion is set before us. We've got to keep our eyes on it. Now, the tree of life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See? Where does man get knowledge? Man can only get knowledge by the Word of God. The tree of life, Christ, the Word, in the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was God. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is what God set forth, but perverted. Now, I can help you here. You remember what I said the other day? That many people say that God is almighty, but they don't know what they mean by it. Now, if God is almighty, He's got all might, and nobody's got any might but God. You say the devil's got might, then God's not almighty, I'm sorry. What you mean is God's bigger than the devil. But the Bible doesn't say that. Now, if you want to get your own Bible, that's okay by me. Now, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just making a statement here for you to see the truth. We don't go by what we think, we go by what God did. And the Scripture sets forth in the Old Testament about 50 times that God is almighty. The New Testament Revelation, and in James, I believe it is, sets forth that God is omnipotent. That means He's got it all. So therefore, any power that Satan has is God's power. Third. See? Anything that the devil has is perverted. Now, the devil can't create. Well, I know people think he can, but he can't. He's got no chance to do that. He can't do it. Now, verse 17, we'll get into something theory. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day of the eating thereof, dying thou shalt surely die. Now, that's taken from a Dr. Young translation, a literal translation. And that's true because nobody ever lived to be 1,000 years of age. Methuselah came the closest with 969. Adam had 930 but fell 70 short. The number of years allotted to you and me. Strange, isn't it? Adam ended his days. The beginning of the race ends what? 930. And our end of the race ends what? 70. There it is. Perfect. We're the end time. Now, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, dying thou shalt surely die, proving that this tree never came out of the ground. Because had it come out of the ground, you could have eaten it. So one tree is the way of life, and the other tree is the way of perverted life. One tree is the way of the knowledge of God, and the other tree is the perverted knowledge of God. And God said here, the minute that you pervert, you're dead. And that's what I told you at the start of this sermon. If Satan can get you to have a perverted worship, though you speak with tongues, though you prophesy, testify, though you raise the dead and cast out devils, he'll say on judgment, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And iniquity, my brother, my sister, is the label of a work, which has to come from life because you can't work without life. So it's a perverted thing. Now, he said, look out for perversion. Because in the day that you partake of perversion, now listen to me, perverted knowledge will bring forth a perverted act. Right? I don't care if anybody thinks that's the truth. Perverted knowledge will bring forth a perverted act. Because man can act only according to what he knows. So therefore, if you do not act in your spiritual understanding and worship toward God, you are perverted. And if you are perverted, you are dead. Now, twin trees, side by side in the midst of the garden, they start as two trees. One is original from God because it is God and His Word in that garden. The next is Satan, and he stands right beside it. Yes. And he takes what God gave him and perverts it. Now notice that God links these two trees with the destiny of mankind. So, whenever we then have that which is right, it is the pure, unsullied of God. And that which is wrong, the most heinous thing, is to take from God and to pervert it. Now, let's go to the fall of Adam and Eve in the third chapter. Remember, these are twin trees. They're standing side by side, not they're real trees. Their branches be intertwined and all. They're right together, the twins in the garden. Third chapter. Let's begin. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said this to the woman, "Nay, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know, in the day you eat thereof, become a partaker of that. Then your eyes shall be opened, then you shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, the tree to the desire to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave her husband also, and he did eat with her. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now I want you to notice here, as I've already brought to your attention, that these were not trees that grew out of the ground and were literally bearing fruit. So we have before us, you can call it an analogy or whatever you want to, but you know that you're going to have to dig deeper than what these verses say to find out exactly what happened. Because it's only a comparison to food. It isn't her eating and him taking an apple or whatever was off the tree. Because the scripture already said only that which came out of the ground was good to eat, so therefore this was not good to eat. It has to do with another partaking. And remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And just as sure as you eat perverted food, you'll bring forth a perverted act. And if you eat pure food, you'll bring forth the pure. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat?" And the man said, "The woman which thou gavest to me, gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is it thou hast done?" The woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust shalt eat all the days of thy life. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." Unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sore and thy conception, and sore shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee." Unto Adam he said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and thorns shall be eaten all the days of life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now notice, in all of this, God did not curse mankind. That's an error right today, but the majority of people and theologians all bring it down as though the true human beings that God made, Adam and Eve, were not cursed. They were not cursed. The ground was cursed for their sake. And because of the ground curse, they had to sweat and toil. And because of the changing things of life, they went through these agonies. But they were not cursed. But they paid the penalty of death. Now, we were talking about people in the beginning of this message. And I told you that there were two people that God was speaking of that would be in the earth. And we saw them in Genesis. No, Matthew 13. Now look, in verse 37, beginning, he answered and said, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this age, the consummation of this age. Now you will notice here that God says in his word that the wheat and the tares are people. And he says that they are in this world. And he said that God sowed some and the devil sowed some. Now, if God sowed some and the devil sowed some, how did the devil's gang get into this earth when God Almighty himself, notice it, when God Almighty himself has his own record in Genesis how he sowed his seed, his own people. Now remember, I showed you that God did not curse Adam and Eve. He cursed the Satan in his seed, the serpent in his seed. And on judgment day, he said, depart from me, you cursed. And Balaam said, you can't curse except what God curses. So don't let any theologian come around and tell me now that the true human race that God sowed is going to be cursed because you're a bunch of liars, and if you believe it, you're partaking of the lie tonight. I preach stuff, but I'm preaching under inspiration. I know where I'm going. So how did Satan's child get in here? Let me ask you a question. Whose image was man made? God. Man is the glory of God. So therefore Satan, because all he can do is pervert what God gave, he will now pervert the human race. How will he do it? He will first pervert the word, and when the word is perverted, it'll bring forth a perverted act. Now listen. I said that man was made in the image of God, and man is the glory of God. And the scripture distinctly says that Adam is the son of God. And when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, he breathed into him his own life, which is original life. So now the very life that God put in a vessel must now come into contact with perversion. If this tree is successful in doing what it wants to do, and what Jesus said did happen in the book of Matthew, His life will be perverted and the vessel will die. Because he took him out of the ground and he put this life in him. Then he took Eve, and she was not in the original creation. Right. And woman became the glory of man. See? She was. Now, notice, it doesn't say that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil approached Eve. It doesn't say that Satan approached Eve. The scripture says now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The word naked and subtle, those words, naked and subtle, both come from the original root word aram, to be to make bare, but used only in the derived sense, to be cunning. This is where you get the idea of smoothness from. It says the serpent was more supple than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Notice God did not make the devil did not make the serpent. God made the serpent. Man was made in the image of God. Right. But, in spite of the fact that God made a man in his image who could both reason and think, it is strange that he made an animal who could also reason and think and speak. Because the scripture says this serpent came and talked to Eve. And the first thing he did was to pervert the word of God. For he said, yea, hath God said? For he knows in the day you eat of, your eyes will be open. Now I want to ask you, who was the one? Yeah, come on now. Who was the one that gave the counsel to the servant that he would know that in the day that these people ate or partook of this perversion, their eyes would be opened, and they themselves would find themselves perverted? Now where did he get it? From Satan. Do you admit with me tonight that Satan used the animal to pervert? Certainly did. Could reason and talk. And the animal came right up to her and he said, I hear that you have been informed that you must not eat of this tree. And she said, that's certainly true. God told us that we partook of this perversion here and did not stay with the original. There's your church agent. Die. And he began arguing. And she took her theology from the devil. Now, I said we've got to find out how the devil got his crowd on earth. Because I go to my Bible, and I can find everyone in the lineage of Adam, marked in a special certain way, where it comes from Adam clean down through the ages, and goes back up through the ages, until it hits Adam, who was the Son of God. But there's a lineage in the Bible that can't be traced to Adam. This lineage then must be the lineage of the beast, the serpent. Now it may come as a shock, but Cain is not of the lineage of Adam. No place in the Bible where the lineage says, Adam, who was the Son of God, can you find Cain? How then does Cain get in the picture? I'm not going to hold you in suspense, honey. I'm going to hit you right now between the eyes and show you something. By the Word of God, that the religious people in Jesus Christ, they came from Cain, and they were called of the devil. And they're called the seed of the serpent, which shows the serpent had seed, and it's in the human race. You ready for it? I'll prove you, if you have 1 ounce of understanding. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father. You show me one place in the Bible where you can find the devil killed anybody. You can't do it. Who was the only man in the Bible who killed and lied about it? Cain. He killed his brother Abel and lied about it. There you are. That tells you how the devil chipped out in this world. This tells you how the devil's children got out. You can be esoterical all you want, turn up your nose and surmise all you want, but brother, sister, let me point it out right now. If there is no literal serpent seed in this world and human body, then the Spirit of God is not in your body either. And you believe in it. And all your rejoicing in God. And all your talk about believing the Word. And everything else you've had in Christ and glorified God for, you're just as ridiculous and as far out. But brother, sister, there's something awful wrong. Because how can you harvest just the Spirit? People, they make the same mistake they made in the day of Jesus Christ. They said, well, certainly there can be serpent seed. They said, is this not the son of David? And they said, no, this is the other son of his gang. This is the serpent seed you really manifested. Yeah. They wouldn't put the seed of God, the seed of the woman, in a man. We come along, our theologians, and they turn their nose up, and they say, Israel missed it. They didn't know that God would come in human form. They didn't know the seed of the woman would be born in human race. But they turn around and make the serpent seed spiritual, and they say, well, that just means an unsaved fellow. We're all serpent seed, you see, really. So we came toward God, now we're his seed. And those that stay there are serpent seed. The same theologians are smart enough to know an election who knows sheep always where the sheep went astray and not a goat. And that the dog was always a dog and he'd go back to his vomit. And a sow was always a sow and she'd go back to her wallow. It's very strange. Suddenly when they come to the great and true doctrines of the Word of God, which open our eyes to what's exactly going on, they blank out. And they will blank out. I'll tell you why, because there's no place in here for the Word. They can't hear it. And what they do toward God's perverted. And brother, sister, that's the best of them. And I'm not being hard on it. I'm giving you God's Word. I'm trying to help you. Because I've got no axe to grind. I don't have to talk about Israel or anything else. I can go on my pathway to hell and glory to God. I'm born again. And I don't want my sight to this thing's all been straightened up for me. So, I showed you that Cain has to be the original introduction in a human race. This is perversion. Now, how did this perverted act come to pass? All right, let's find out. Let's just read that first verse again. Third verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast to defeat him. That's the serpent. We know he's there. All right. After God told Adam that you shall not eat of this perversion, because the day you partake of perversion, you yourself will be perverted. And brother, sister, God has no use for perversion. Can't help it. Only that which is holy will go back to God. And he comes that him that is righteous be righteous still. He that is holy be holy still. He that is unrighteous be sinned. All right, now let's read that 18th verse. And the Lord God said in Genesis 2, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helper like unto him. Now the original rendition, I read it right. I will make unto him a helper like unto him, like in his image. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air. You get what I'm reading? God says, I'm going to get him somebody like him, and then he creates all the animals before Adam. What in the name of common sense has that got to do with God giving this man a wife? Well, let's read on. And he brought them to Adam to see what Adam would call them, or whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl there, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. Now, if that isn't about the corniest, craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. If I'm not preaching you the truth tonight, this is the stupidest thing I've ever met in the Word. Here God says, I'm going to make a helper just like him. I'm going to give him a wife. All the animals had wives. So that every animal goes by. The horse goes by, the duck with the mare, the bull with the cow and the ram with the ewe and so on. Down they go, pitter, pitter, pat, and Adam names them all by the Spirit of God, and every one goes by. And then pretty soon the last two going by, as every order gets higher, here is Mr. and Mrs. Thurston. Oh yes, he's got a wife too. Or didn't you think he had? Well, come on. He's got a wife. They all made two, except Adam. He didn't have a wife. All the rest had wives. Right? So they couldn't be group mullified without somebody else. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he is subtle. The serpent himself, so she was subtle. And the word means smooth. You ever seen a hairy snake? Haven't, have you? And it wasn't like a beast on 4 feet. He was upright and she was upright. And they walked and he said, hi, Adam. Nice evening. She went, said, hi, Adam. You don't think she did? You're wrong. You don't think she did. Amen. They talked, brother, sister. Don't spell this word short. You think maybe see? No, I know people's idea was. Well, you see, the person got a hold by the devil, and he just got his mouth just talking like that. I got news for you. He didn't. I got news. Here's where the perversion of the human race came in. Because this is your missing link. An animal so close to man, so close to woman, that he could have sat down and had a cup of tea. He could have, if Adam couldn't reach the fruit, he might have said to the serpent in those days, hey, do me a favor, shimmy up there and get there. I'm kind of tired today. Well, I don't know if he'd be tired enough, but I'm just carrying on some conversation. I might have been. The old serpent, he wouldn't wind up there, no, he'd slither up, he'd shimmy up there, hands up, pulling himself up, say, hey, look at me, Adam, one hand. Turn it. It's exactly what went on. They were close to human beings. Now he comes to her because she can't get anywhere with Adam. Neither can he. You couldn't fool Adam. He's the Son of God. No hope, not a chance. This is no bedtime story. This is the gospel truth is all here. So why did he pray him before Adam? Give me the answer. Why did he say he looked for somebody amongst that whole crowd? Would I go looking down the zoo to pick up a wife? The very thought is so repulsive. And there's where people get fooled. They say, well, Brother Bill, if you believe that serpent really touched that woman, you've got to be a fool. I'm not talking about some four-footed beast, like where they had the baboons rape the Christian women or other women in the arena. I'm not talking about that nonsense and drivel and the rotten understanding of sex and perversion we've got in the world today. I'm talking about what happened in the Garden of Eden. When the serpent and his bride were almost exactly like a human being. That which was made in God's image. And he looked them both over and said, she wasn't to help me, no, forget it. I got to make him one. So he takes the rib out of her side. Now he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh. I said, this is me. Because she was nothing but a part of Adam and multiplied cells. All the female appurtenances were now taken out and placed in another vessel. And this is the vessel because she was a byproduct of man and therefore not equal with man. Of the revelation, understanding, and whatnot. But she was sort of helped along. And when this beast came and talked to her, the first thing he did, he perverted the word. And so therefore the next thing was a perverted act. And the scripture says over here, in the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, and she again bare his brother Abel. And in verse 25, it says, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son. There are two acts of carnal knowledge on the part of Adam, and yet there are three children. Read any student you want. Pick up Adam Clark's commentary. And he will show you positively that the children in the womb of Eve were twins. The one act of Adam brought forth Abel. And he pleased God. And what did Cain do? Cain positively would not listen to what God had to say, rebelled against God, and when God laid a curse on him. Now do you get it? If he was a human being, he could not have been cursed. Now, come on, you heard your tape. What did Brother Branham say? Did he say they were cursed? He said they weren't cursed. They were given covenant. God's covenant. I'll give you a redeemer to bruise the head of that one. And this would all take place in the human race. He knew he was cursed. And now thou art cursed from the earth. Depart from me, you cursed. You show me one place in the whole record, brother, sister, of this Bible where any man ever stood before God face to face and said, mind your own business and shut up. Because that's what he told God. And when God cursed him, he said, you've got a nerve cursing me. Now look what you've done. People try to kill me. Plain and simple. The genes of the serpent were so close to human genes that they could and they did mix. And in that mixture, being so close, they were still able to propagate. So therefore, if Cain, this perverted one, was brought to birth, becoming a perverted man, he was the murderer and liar in that order and killed his brother according to the flesh because they were half-brothers. And then you will find after no time whatsoever, it was Cain's son who couldn't contain himself with one woman, he had to have two. Absolutely. And you know as well as I do that from time immemorial, the frequency of sex has been associated with animals. You know that. I have to talk too plain. Anybody knows what we're talking about. And because of what the serpent did, God took every bone in his body and changed it. And he said, because of this thing, thou art cursed. And he was cursed. And Cain was cursed. Depart from me, you cursed, but we did wonderful things in your name. Now here, they're not very religious and too spiritual. Because this is as tear, T-A-R-E, though they came out of the same womb, which bore the same seed, and the only difference was, between the two children was, one was pure human seed, Adam and Eve, and the other was beast and human seed. In other words, the human ova from Eve. Remember, the woman supplies 7 genes and so many chromosomes, just like the man does. So now it has been introduced into the human race. And God said, you're cursed, and your curse is that I'm going to tell above every beast of field, because from now on they will not be changed, but they will grow and grow until Romans 8 tells us, until I change all things new. But he said, you, I am going to change. Because with your high intelligence you listened to the devil, and you were used thereby to pervert the human race. Now, I'll take every bone in your body and change it. And upon your belly you're going to go. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. And then speaking of the fact of the seed coming, he distinctly said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. That's right. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise it here. And yet, the scripture brings out that the seed here is not singular, but it is plural. Which it is, because the saints shall judge the world. And it is on their say-so that condemnation will fall upon the cursed one. The righteous blood of Abel has cried out against Cain. But one day in the judgment, Abel himself shall condemn Cain, and the collective seed of the woman, which is in Christ, will completely finish off. That sin falls back upon Satan, just as Brother Branham said it would. Well, glory to God, I feel real good. Now, notice in verse 20 of chapter 3, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living, but it doesn't say that Adam was the father of all living. Now, I'm not going to go further on this, or I'll get into Book of Life. We don't have time, and I don't intend to take time on it. This is an account, which no doubt could be fuller if God would so choose to have me speak more fully on it, of how it is that Adam and Eve fell. And you may wonder why it is. You say, what is it that Adam did? What Adam did in listening to his wife was the fact that he entered into covenant with her and took her back, because he knew exactly what happened to her. He took the perverted word and held up for her when he should not have, and he should have called upon God, but rather he stepped right in the breach, acted like God acted, became her sheltering covering, and desired her above all else. So what happens? The first thing you know, he is caught up in the same thing. Now you say, Brother Dale, if this is what you think it is, why is it that God set you true for multiply? Now we're in the Book of Life a little bit different. Let me show you something here. God originally took man out of the dust. See, he did, but not the woman. He took her by a process. And God could take this dust and breathe upon it, and he would bring his children out of the dust. But God being a Savior, it was necessary that he would predestinate a man to require salvation in order to give God his reason and purpose of being. And God did not destroy his word, because his word will come to pass. For he will yet take his sons and daughters out of the earth, his own children, as it says in Ezekiel 37, and breathe upon them, and they will stand there in a perfection as Job did, just as it happened at resurrection day when Christ came for them. So God has, that's Brother Branham talking, you know that. So therefore you can see perfectly why God did this, and why it is, brother, sister, man in Christ, Adam was never cursed. I'll give you the Book of Life once more. As in Adam we all died, in Christ we're all made alive, but Adam, but Cain was never in Adam. The serpent seed was never in Adam. The tares were never in Adam. The false man was never in Adam. The chaff was never in Adam. But you see, the original life that God planted being now perverted. And I'll show you how perverted it is, Jordy. Now that life traveling through all of those genes, God, the great, all-wise, infinite one, here's his omniscience. See, there isn't one chance in 3 trillion that anybody will be exactly like his parents. That's how your genes, it took a death for the number of genes. Have there been 3 trillion people ever on this earth? If the male ejaculates, which one little sperm, take 15,000 of those sperms to lie across the cross-section of one hair. It's my understanding that the male ejaculate, if all of it in one lifetime of a male were put together end to end, just those little tiny sperm would take 15,000 go across the cross-section of hair, it would go a million miles in the space. How many millions in Adam? Eve was an Adam. Every single elected child of God through natural election came in by the human process of Adam. They're in him and they died just what God said would happen. By perversion. But you don't kill God that easy. As they died in Adam, we were all made alive in Christ. That's just thrown in to help you. To understand this. Now, let's go to Genesis 25 and let us see now how this comes to pass where the two vines are so close together. This is the story of Jacob and Esau. Genesis 25, 20 to 34. We don't even read it all. Well, here's where it is. Well, let's just read it. And Isaac was 40 years old. He took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord to his wife because she was barren. And the Lord has entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. I like Jacob got back to his sister, but... Well, when you're ready, just throw it away where you am, and I'll give you a chance to turn it over. It says here, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. The Lord has entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire the Lord. The Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be strong, the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, here is a picture which I can only take you to the full understanding in the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, so I'm going to do it. It says here, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by her father Isaac, in verse 10, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now listen to me. The two races of people, under the headship of Adam, who gave it to Seth, for the scripture says that Adam had a son in his own likeness. See? Now, if Cain had been the son of Adam, he would have been in Adam's likeness and in the genealogy. But the Bible says that Cain was of that wicked one, but it also says that Adam was the son of God. How can God call, the Holy Ghost call Adam the son of God and that wicked one at the same time? No, sir. Adam was the word creation that let himself get perverted. The other was the complete perversion from the tree of the knowledge of evil, which was already the perverted word, guided by that perversion. And Cain was of the wicked one. Now, listen to me. What happened was the scripture says that the sons of men, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair to look upon. Now, the sons of God have to be the Adamic race, because if Adam is the son of God, just the same as the original Hebrew, Abraham brought forth his son Isaac, and Isaac had to be a Hebrew because of Abraham. So it is that the sons of Adam had to be sons of God because he was the son of God. That's the very reason that Jesus Christ is the son of God and not a Jew, though he was born the tribe of Judah. He was not a Jew. He was not a Gentile. He was the second Adam, the last Adam, God creating himself in the fallen man to redeem those that were lost in Adam where his natural life was deposited. He was going to redeem. And that life of God had to go down the grave, but they'd have to stay there. They would have to be either eternally lost. There's that foolish doctrine of eternal hell. There would have been an eternal hell if God could have redeemed his own. But he redeemed him. You don't become a son of God, God. If he places the son of God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's different. They were the sons of God. And they begin to marry into this race until they all became one flesh and all the genes were mixed up. Now, it says here Rebecca had a child, one woman, two different eggs. Well, one woman produced the eggs, one man produced the two sperm. And one was reprobate and one was elect. There you are, there's your twin. Both religious, both calling on God, both praising God, both worshiping God. But one was loved to God and one was hated. All right, without great ado on that, more teaching. Numbers, the 16th chapter, verses 1 to 3. This is the mixed multitude I told you about who were the carriers that came out of Egypt. Verse 2 and 3. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes. Notice it, always you're going to have the big leaders, the big shots of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men renowned. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice here, brother, sister, these people were of the 70, and they gathered, just not all the 70, but some of the 70, see, upon whom the Spirit of God was, because God took it off of Moses and put it upon them, see, in order that God might be amongst the entire congregation. Now notice it. It says right here, and the Lord is among them. Now turn to Psalm 68 and get the explanation. Verse 18. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, and have received gifts from men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Notice, two kinds of gifts given to two for two reasons. He ascended on high, led captivity captive, and received gifts from men. Now, this verse, that part is translated, interpreted, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Let's turn to it. Ephesians 4. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. What were the gifts? He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the privilege of the saints, for the word of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These were given to the body of Christ for perfection. How? Through the word. What's over here? He gave gifts for the rebellious. What's rebellious? Against the word. Who was against the word? Corinth, Jason, Abiram. What was upon them? The Holy Ghost was upon them. What kind of gift? Tongues, prophecy, manifestation. Now, how close can you get? Israel was God's religious people. Took them out of Egypt. He didn't take anybody else up. He didn't go to Rome and take anybody up. He didn't go anyplace else. He took them out of Egypt. That's where they were. He took them out, and amongst them was one man with the word, the apostle prophet Moses. And he gave that man with the word because the church is built upon the apostles and prophets, because they have the word. And when you're in the word, brother, sister, you're right in there with them. The word. But Korah and Dathan and his bunch didn't want the word, but they had God's Spirit in anointing upon them. But the Bible said they are swallowed up by the earth. Now, let's go to Numbers 22 and 23. Which we haven't got time to read Numbers chapter 22 and 23, but this is the story of Balaam. King Balak came to Balaam and he said, Balaam, come down and curse me, this people. And Balaam wanted to go down and curse the people. But God wouldn't let him curse the people. But the Holy Ghost came upon Balaam. And he prophesied one of the most glorious prophecies in the whole Word of God. That prophecy came to pass and is coming to pass and will yet come to pass what he prophesied. It was that great. It compares to Moses. It compares to any prophet in the Bible. Yet Balaam himself was a false prophet. And he led Israel into sin, teaching them fornication and worldly lust. And he died in battle fighting against Israel. Yet if you would put Moses' prophecy and Balaam's prophecy side by side, you would not have found one speck of difference. But the one man was in the Word, and the other man was out of the Word, showing you that perversion of the Word is the one vile sin in God's calendar category. You don't add to it, you don't take from it. And you don't translate it and cover it the way you want. See? This is getting clear, I hope. Now, let's go on. Let's think of Judas and Jesus. Jesus was upon earth. Judas was upon earth. Judas healed the sick. But Judas healed the sick. Yet it says in the book of John chapter 6 and verse 70, one of you is Diabolus. I don't know if it was Oral Roberts or somebody else. I think it was Orr in his book said, he translated, one of you has a devil. Now, my brother, my sister, somebody's name is going to go off that book unless he repents. I don't care if it's on tape. I meant it to be. Because it doesn't say one of you has a devil. It says one of you is Diabolus. One of you is the devil. Amen. I didn't get any amens off for you Greek. But I looked this thing up and read the sources on it. Said Judas went to his place too, honey. Must have had a place before he got here. And yet my Bible says that Judas had a part of the same ministry Peter and James and John had, because the book of Acts says so. He had obtained a part of this ministry. The very identical ministry of the Holy Ghost, eating the sick, casting out the devil, raising the dead, Judas the devil had it. The devil was anointed by the Holy Ghost. All right, what other power has he got? Only got God's power. How many powers has God got? What's all this life out here perverted? What's all this power here perverted? It all came from God. All things were made by Him and all things were maintained by Him. If all things were made by Him and are maintained by Him, what do you need but the Word? But don't get it perverted. See, perversion is the key. Amen. That's the whole thing. Don't look any other place than that. Don't go looking to Russia. Don't worry about Russia, Antichrist, Russia, so-called. They chew out the Word. They're not the ones to worry about. God just raised you up to burn the flesh of the house. Because we perverted the Word over here in America. We'll get our dose. Don't worry. Brother Brown's last vision was America's and Craters, remember? All right. Judas and Jesus. Now, let's go to the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. I'm sorry, 6th chapter, what I want. I'll get those two mixed up because they're borderliners. Listen to me. In verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened. Israel is enlightened. There's a messenger coming, going to lead you out. Boy, they came along. And have tasted the heavenly gift. They sure did. They all took of it, partakers. Were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And they tasted the good word of God, the power of the Word of God. If they shall fall away to renew them again to repent, seeing they crucify themselves, the Son of God afresh, putting to an open chain. Now here explains it. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herb meat for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh to cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though thus we speak. What's Paul saying? He says there's two kinds of seed in this world, the wheat and the tares, and they came here originally. The brother said, let me ask you a question. When you begin talking in terms of a little analogy like this, when you see wheat and tares, you know one thing, you know this, that the earth that they were put into is the same earth. The sun that shines on them is the same sun. The rain that drops on them is the same rain. The fertility is the same fertility. There's just one difference. And that is, brother, sister, the seed. Longer now. Now, if on everything, there is no difference. If the sun does not shine, the wheat and the tares are both affected. If it doesn't rain, the wheat and the tares are both affected. Now, this is the very thing that Brother Bannon talked about in many of his faith. When he went into a meeting where they're speaking in tongues, where they're prophesying, and he knew it was real. But he felt something strange in the meeting, and he said, I'm going to test it out. And having his gift of discernment, which can tell one thing, more than any other thing in the world, if a man or woman is unfaithful in their marriage vows. So he shook hands with the first man and began talking to catch his spirit. Now that's very simple, not just because you're a prophet, but it's true. No man knows the things a man to the spirit of man. Oftentimes one man will catch another man right in his spirit, EST and rest, it's in comfort. But he was in the Holy Ghost doing it. And as he talked to the man, he thought he's a genuine, sweet, wonderful Christian. But the other man talking in tongues, interpreting and prophesying and calling him out of the audience too, laying things on the open. He shook his hands and talked. And the vision came, here was a man married to a blonde and having children by a brunette. He said, I ever saw a hypocrite in my life, he was a slanderer. And he was full thrown. He said, I don't understand, there's got to be something wrong, there's a mistake somewhere. He was so burdened by what Dr. Davis had said, tough this, he went all by himself to his cave and began to look to God. He tried to pray, he didn't have much success to read his Bible. That didn't work, so he prayed again, leaving his Bible open. The wind came in the room, opened the Bible to Hebrews 6, he read it. Didn't mean anything. He prayed, he opened his Bible again, read some more, another place. He prayed, the wind came in, threw it back to Hebrews 6, 3 times in a row. And when he did, a vision broke before his eyes, and there he saw the whole world, like a beautiful field for planting. And he saw a man in white come out and plant grain. And then he saw toward evening, and in the evening, a man in black come out and plant something else. Next few days, he saw the grain begin to rise. He saw the tares come up. He saw the men come out. He saw them go to the man and say, well, didn't you plant good seed? Yes, I did. But now there are tares. He said, let them alone. They grew up together. Don't touch them, lest you disturb one. Just the way it should be, in other words. Don't try to fool it, just leave it. The sun began to beat down upon him. Beautiful days, beautiful rain. So one day the sun did not cease to beat down, and it kept beating down and beating down till the tares began to droop and dry. The wheat began to droop and die. And the wheat began to cry, oh God, send the rain. And the tares began to cry, oh God, send the rain. And God sent the rain. And the wheat got full of life and vigor and said, praise the Lord. And the tares got full of vigor. And they said, praise the Lord. And he knew the mystery. Certain, there's just one flesh, brother and sister. But there's two genes. In mankind is planted the two seeds. But one is a God and one is a devil. And the devil can't create his brother. And he's got to have something to pervert with. And the door was open. So the serpent seed could come in. By the perversion whereby all this was perverted. The church has been perverted also. The white horse rider went out in the first church age. He looked so close, like the real thing. He started with fellowship. You know where it came from? It came from the 20th chapter of Acts when the elders got together under Paul when he called them to my leader. Now listen, brother, sister. The scripture distinctly says when God gave gifts to men, he gave what? According to Corinthians, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors, that's it. Where'd the elders come from? Where'd deacons come from? There it came from God. But the Bible says, now watch it, I never saw this until the other day when Brother Branham brought it up. And that is, it came to my mind what he said. Not that he brought this up particularly, but it had to come out. So this is what he meant. When he said, show me where God ordained an elder. He said, with man's choosing. But listen, oh, I got to find it, and when I do, if a man, desires the office of a bishop, I used to think that was a good verse. I scolded the men and said, shame on you. It says where you should desire it, and I can't find one of desiring. I guess I pulled a boo. Here's your trouble. Diotrephes was an elder under John. He caused him trouble. Here's your boys. Here's your men. Show me one elected pastor. Show me a pulpit committee. Here's your perversion. God opened the door, Paul opened the door, and he said, oh, Brother Ben, he said, yes, he said, Moses' law, Paul's gospel. Moses gave you the bill of divorcement you wanted to give. Oh, yeah. you bunch of men laden with your beast hormones. Yeah. You know the names they call men? I don't have to call men. They name after animals. And men think they're proud and smart because they're called those names. If a man desires the office of a bishop, and so these men came down to Paul, and already in their little hearts, because Paul said in their own selves will rise up men when he lectured them. These men said a bishop means more than a local man who is merely doing a little office work under a pastor. And immediately, they became the authority of the churches. Now, let's look even at the Catholics. The priest, he's got quite a bit of authority. Now, the cardinal, he's more theoretical and authoritative in the book. Right? But if you want a man that cracks the whip and makes the money, his top dog, he's dear old bishop. If you want to know where they went haywire in the Methodists, it's the bishop. The Presbyterians are presbyters. See? And any time you see a man wanting an office, Brother Branham said, any truly ordained pastor, evangelist, prophet, proper teacher never wanted the job. But woe is me if he didn't preach, but these guys that want to preach, you can hear their preacher's itch. You can hear them scratching. It's so itchy. And the people, that is he is. Your elders are your trouble, your deacons. They never were ordained to God. I'm not running anybody down. Now, it's legitimate. If you want to be an elder deacon, that's good. Be to be what Paul said you're to be. And you can even desire it. As long as you desire to really serve God. David longed to serve God, did wrong. He took his rebuke and did right. See? But there's where organization came from and all the trouble. That little thing called fellowship, what have you, went right down the drain. Because you see why? It was in there, brother, sister. That's why the thing to watch for is you don't worry about those tares out there when they look like tares and all. That's all you worry about, see? What you gotta worry about is this spirit that's so close. They're still tares. But now they've come so close. Why? Because of the fact they've all got mixed in one lump. You got an Esau and a Jacob in one womb. You've got a church that's got the real thing. And you've got it wrong. Everybody's the same until Christ separates them from the bride, and it isn't going to come till the end time. And when she'll come with one, there's only one separation when the bride has one mind on that word, and she's no longer perverted. The day when she hits that word, perfect, brother, sitting that word's in her perfect, she is no longer perverted. She'll just walk right into a new body to begin. And to be united with Christ because you have that word. Follow me? Now, today you see, brother, sister, we have the chaff and the wheat. We have the vine with the wrong branches in it. But you see, they're living on the life and fruit of Christ. Now, what do we got today? We've got men today who don't believe this word, don't want this word, don't even know what it says, but repudiate the prophet and the word of God in this day, and they have got all kinds of gifts amongst them. They're healing the sick, they're raising the dead. And why? Because God is amongst the congregation. And he's amongst them by the signs and the wonders. And they're saying, well, see, they're just like corn and dates and violence. See, we've got God, we've got to be right. We've got the miracles, we've got the power, we've got this. And they're entirely wrong. And one day God will say, let the earth open up and swallow. Or fire and if you want to know the condition of this age, brother, sister, let me read it here. It says over here in Malachi at this age, people robbing God, and they are, they're robbing his heritage. They're sending out literature all the time, you know, to get this money coming in, the anointed wallet. What's in an anointed pocketbook for hundreds of dollars and a St. Christopher medal or a little something for your car? It's the same thing. It's the same spirit. And he said in the verse 13, your words have been felt against me, saith the Lord. And he said, what have we spoken against thee? And you have said, it is vain to serve God. And you can only serve God by his word. And what profit is it? We have kept his ordinance, you see. That we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now you call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Even yea, they that tempt God are delivered. But it says at the same time, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, And the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written of them before him, for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. That's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said, in that day, he said, I'm going to spare them, and I'm going to make up my jewels. And then you shall return, he said, and discern between the righteous and wicked. Now, what is the difference between the two? The only difference is perversion. Because the two priests stood side by side. One was good, all good, and the other was good, but perverse. So God's going to work in the last days. And right in this last day, we got back to the two trees, brother. Just the olive were there, the two vines, branches, whatever you want to call it, wheat and chaff, olive were there. But we're coming to the last day when the scripture says, and it's got it right here in Matthew 24, and it says here, for there shall arise false Christ, and in the Greek, K is even lying prophet. Doesn't say false Christ and false prophet. It will say men who claim to have the Holy Ghost and the right, therefore, to speak and to lead you. There shall arise false Christ. Remember, it doesn't say the Christ part false. It says they're false anointed ones. Even lying prophet. What's a lying prophet? A man that's not in the Word. And shall show great signs and wonders. Not lying signs and wonders now, but genuine signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. What's the word against? Those who come up by the Word. Did Israel come up by the Word? No. Who was the Word? Christ. They wouldn't tell you. Who became the Word of the Gentiles? Paul. Who was the Word of the next age? Iranian. Who was in the third age? Martin. Who in the fourth? Columbus. Who came next? Luther. Wesley. The last day of Prophet William Branham. So this was the age, brother, sister. And remember, brother, sister, remember that everything in this earth is perversion. So when Brother Branham came on the scene, he could read their house, he performed miracles. What did you hear? Every man who ever wrote a book in Prophet William Branham's head and had a great ministry? I can quote one of the greatest known names in the world. He said, when I saw him in Oregon that time, when that man fell at his feet, fell across his feet, he said, something spoke me and said, this is the way Christ did it. This is the way we can do it. He did it. Another man went to see him, and he said the same thing, and they all said the same thing. But when the prophet of God preached the word and taught them circumcision, which I merely amplified, in a sense, I said it in my own words rather than his. Well, they said, he can't do that prophet. But the angel of God stood by him. The same angel of God who spoke and told him concerning his gift ministry. Told him the three poles in his life. Told him all these great things that have come to pass. Thousands of things come to happen. Come to pass just like he did. That same angel of God said, see, he said, you tried to explain this ministry, and all you've done is raise up carnal impersonators. You have only raised up the perversion is all you've done. Because they're not original seed. Because original seed is spoken word. There's your two vines. There's your two spirits so close. There's this group the devil got deceived. Because they say it doesn't matter. As long as you got the Spirit of God. They talk about tongues evidence. They talk about Father O'Connor. Pardon the expression. To me, it's a mere expression. Reverend O'Connor, whatever he is, I don't care. He's no father to me. He's a father to some, all right, I guess. I don't know. But here's the group that talks in tongues and prays and have all these gifts of utterance and so on. This is told to Brother Baker and Brother Archie Martin. You can bring them here and they'll tell you the same thing. I think you know Archie anyway. Brother Baker could come any day of the week to call him. They went to see him in his office, and here the story comes out. Two boys were hit by a speeding car near this prayer group. One boy is literally dead. The other man's got two terrible broken legs. The unconscious boy is not doing a thing but lying there. They think he's either dead or unconscious or on his way out. The other boy is cursing God. So the prayer group comes up, lays hands on the first one. He raises up, perfectly whole. Not one scratch on him, not a bruise, not a sign. The other boy they rebuke for cursing and pray. And like a funny thing, like here, lying fat like this, like a poker, his leg gene comes up just like this, like a poker. And he walks on. He said, that's got to be God, is it? How come then the spirit in the group told him to go and worship the wafer on the altar for an hour and to take their roses and pray to the Virgin Mary? How come this little Catholic nun in Chicago spoke to the businessmen up there, full gospel no less? And she is a teacher of theology in the seminary. And she let them know that she could speak in tongues and have gifts in her church, but she let them know, don't try to fool with my theology. In other words, kiss your Bible goodbye, but I've got the gift. The same man we're talking about told them bluntly. He said, you might wonder what the Holy Ghost is doing and how he feels in the Catholic Church. Well, I'll tell you, he feels fine. He's right at home in the Catholic Church. There's no lack of miracles, never will be. The scripture says Israel saw his works, but Moses knew his ways. And I've done my best to teach him that, where it all comes from. It comes, brother, sister, from perversion. You don't go looking in the mire, brother, sister, for the very worst to see Satan. That's trapped in a type of heathen out there that he's already got. But the lie, brother, sister, the lie is when he just takes enough of that word away. And the people fall for it. And he's got enough power that he can use from God. Because he can talk in tongues, so that's fine. But even the Spirit of God can fall upon him. And they'll talk in their tongues. They'll demonstrate that have gifts and signs and wonders and marvels amongst them. And they'll say, well, we got to be right. But they're wrong because it's the word. Proved by. You see where it is tonight? Don't get proved by these men that are all around the world telling you how great they are and how there's a great revival coming. It's the strangest thing in the world to me is how they took up a little thing by Dr. Oswald Smith, who used the fact that when Absalom, when David was not yet brought back to the city, and he said, why don't you hasten to bring back the king? And so Oswald Smith took from the book of Matthew, go to all the world and preach the gospel. And this gospel preached to then all the kings and Christ would come. Got to go through all the earth first. You know how it goes? And he said, there it is. Let us hasten his coming. Let us win the world for God and we'll bring him back. And they all jumped on the bandwagon. And they all said, we're going to win the world and bring him back. My Bible says that the Antichrist is going to take it over. I believe the Bible. I don't believe these men. They said, give us the truth and we'll do it. What was the truth? Money, 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 money. Why did God give you the Holy Ghost at $1 million to take money? Why do you say the poor should inherit? Why do you say he had not much use for a rich man and very few with me? If it takes money, we have only one problem, one way of getting there, that's money. Tonight, none of you would ever make it or get one single reward because none of you are millionaires. Is that the way you feel about it? Carnal impersonators. But they preach the Bible so far. They interpret it according to the way they want it. But they turn down a vindicated prophet that they patterned their ministry on. Just like Korah patterned on Moses. Just like Abiram patterned on Moses. And now that he's dead, one man's going around saying, I'll tell you later on why he died. Another man got the same idea. Just let me say this one thing, brother, sister. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said, take their names off the book. And when the Son of Man was revealed in his word, and they turned it down, there went at least 600, that's right, 599 million. 599 million, no, 700, 700 million Christians, so called. 699 million, 900, and you name the rest of it, have their names, for all I know, taken off that book. That's right. I'm not here preaching the harsh gospel to a judging man. But I know one thing. That these two minds, brother and sister, and these two spirits are so close. And it said they believe the lie. And they'll all grab to be who? The religion. Those who do what? Worship God?
That's right.
Have God in the midst?
That's right.
Those who have their programs? That's right. But the outside of the world. For they that worship me, said Christ, not mountain, not here, not there, but worship according to spirit and in truth. May God bless you and may you help to see tonight where they came from and where it is going. And if you have any questions, just ask the Lord to help you. Because it's all there in the book. And it's all manifest as clear as the handwriting on the wall in the days of long ago. Let's rise and be dismissed. Lord, he kept you so long. Next time, try not to keep so long. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come again now at the close of this service, the close of this day, asking you, my God, through the sure knowledge of your word that told us that when the Spirit of God would come, he would lead us into all truth. He would take the things of the Lord and show them unto us. Now, Lord, tonight many things may be strange to many people. And we know that's the way it always has been, the very fulfillment of your word. In the day of your sojourn here upon earth, when you came veiled in flesh, when you fulfilled Scripture thereby to the very letter, it was so strange that the multitude did not only turn from you, but they turned on you and destroyed you. Lord, tonight I know the same thing is happening. Once more the movement of the scissors is in the camp. Once more there is a cutting off. Once more, O God, there is rejection. But Lord, tonight let it not be that anyone here tonight will reject. But may the Spirit of the living God teach, admonish, instruct, and fully inform concerning this truth that they be not deluded. That they may understand, Lord, in this last day, a church vine comes to fruition. That, Lord, the great error does not lie in those who have repudiated that word. In those, my God, who have turned away and denied the blood and the virgin birth. But the great error lies in the very factor so close. That they'll do miracles in your name. Cast out devils and prophesy. They'll be right in here with the very elect of the elect. But on that day you're going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Grant tonight, my God, that there shall not be named among them, under any condition, one of that category. Help each one tonight, Lord, now to be very strong in the grace which is found in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for what you've given us by your word. And how you're going to make that word rich and real and strong. It's for a purpose. I don't understand it all, but it's for a purpose. That we should be 100% right in this. For your own prophet told us under the anointing of God. That when that prophet would come in the last days, he would go from circumcision to the sowing of the latter rain. The prophet of the latter rain. And Lord, we've gone that road. But now it may be fulfilled, we pray. And under the King eternal and more than visible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.